Hey, where's this little one at? Yeah. Hold her up. She's doing it. Now, this is the one we've prayed for. Isn't she beautiful? Now, you told me, how's she doing? Doing the perfect. Perfect. Hallelujah. Everything is gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I can't tell all this one because I don't want to steal glory. So why don't you share?
Yes, I have a testimony to tell. My name is Irma, by the way, Irma Sturgeon, and I have my family here. That's my granddaughter, actually, Isla. Ever since she was 18 months, she had a tumor in her liver, and they removed it, and she had chemo, and it came back when she was 4 years old. It came back in her lung, and they removed it, and she took chemotherapy for 8 months, and she's all clear now, you know. So
hallelujah.
That's good. But I have another one. My dad. I brought my dad when Pastor Dave Robertson was here.
Yes.
I told him, Daddy, you got to come. My dad had three hernias in his stomach, you know, and he was just in pain. And I told him, Daddy, you got to come. You got to come, you know. So he came with his intentions of getting healed. He just said, okay, I'll go, because he was already tired of his pain. And you know, and then he had a scan. He had a colonoscopy. He had everything. So it did show that he had three hernias. And then last week he went for his MRI results. And they told him, Andy, I cannot find anything wrong.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You know.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
They did not find any hernias. He's still in pain. You know, but as far as the hernias, he has nothing.
Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
Hallelujah.
You know,
thank you, Jesus.
And the way he told me was like, Irma, I have something to tell you. He told me, are you sitting down? And I go, do I have to? He goes, yes. And I go, okay. And he just said, I went for my results from the MRI, and he says, I'm dumbfounded. I don't know what to think. It's either a misdiagnosis or I've been healed by God. It's a miracle.
I go,
Daddy, you claim it. You claim it as a miracle of God, and you just watch what He'll do for you.
Yes.
So, you know, praise.
Thank you, Father.
Yes,
thanks, Irma.
Thank you.
I think, you know, since we're all getting in a whole lot better shape than we were when we came in here, I think we need to stand up and lift up our hands and give Him all the glory. Father, we worship You. We give You all the praise. And all the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You for the miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Manakeresedia. Yes, sir. He is a tangible God. And more that we're realizing that, the more and more we can step out and do the things that He said, the works that I do, You'll do also. And greater works, which was us getting people born again. Because what greater work could You do that He couldn't do? He couldn't even get His 12 born again because He had not yet been glorified. So after His glorification, when He went to the cross and resurrection, now the greater work, somebody says, well, I know you guys want to have a miracle revival, but I just want to get people saved. That's the priority. Well, yes. Yes, that's the greater work. Okay, no argument. You win the debate. And there wasn't one to begin with. I'll go along with you. But sozo, coming from the word soteria, it's an all-encompassing word. He's like, you mean that's all you want? You just want to come here and you want to come here sick? Because the same blood that paid for your salvation is the same blood that paid for your absolute healing. Well, I don't know if it's His will. Oh, come on. He who spared not His own Son. Paul makes an argument. It's just like in the Greek that he's arguing to a jury. Now, wait a minute, guys. Put your chin in your palm of your hand and think about this. Think deep. If he didn't spare him, why would he hold anything from us? Well, maybe it's his will. He'll get the glory when I get healed. Illogical. I go down here, rob the Winn-Dixie. The alarm's going off. They're just getting an APB out on me. Good looking white Caucasian. I run down there to the substation, walk in there. I'm here to turn myself in. Why? Because I figured there would probably be some kind of glorified reward if I come at this point and turn myself in. So what kind of reward do I get out of? Because I'm the guy that just robbed the Winn-Dixie. Well, I can tell you what reward you get, sir. Follow us back here. I'm going to make you sick so I can heal you later. I don't know him. Where did you find him at? Cracker Jack box? That's not him. He doesn't work that way. In fact, he's surprising me. And not that I'm the epitome. I'm trying to get in some of your shoes. I had an errand to run. I spent yesterday all day with my dad. His 72nd birthday. And I had to run and do something. I was telling my brother-in-law about later, and it took me a couple of hours. And I was hungry from the day because we'd been out hunting. So I hope that doesn't scar your conscience. But anyway, we weren't going to shoot anything. We were going to pet him when we found him. And so I was hungry, so I did something I never hardly ever do. I ran through a quick eat, and I told him I knew when I told, I knew because I keep myself pretty clean as far as I just don't even know hardly what a headache is. I never have one. And I knew there's a sign inside of me, don't order the diet soda. Don't do it. And because I elected not to take the cheese, I thought, that's going to good. And give me the diet soda. Now, I can tell you, they are bad for your brain. They're bad for your brain, and they will give you headaches. Its studies come out, but I you don't even have to tell me. I can forget about it. It's not psychological, but I got about 20 minutes down the road, and I go, oh, God. So I put up with it through the next hour, and then I was coming home, and I said, oh, my God. it's hurting right back here. And I just knew it was that soda. It's that stuff they put in it. Well, I don't want to put a sugar. Listen, the sugar one's better for you than the diet one, chemically. There's chemical substances in there that's bad on your neurological system. Okay, enough said. Anyway, that thing was hurting. And I just said, in the name of Jesus. And it didn't go away. And I got about 3 or 4 miles down the road. And I said, well, wait a minute. Wait. The effectual fervent prayer. You can pray one of those frivolous, now lay me down to sleep prayers. And I just said, I believe. But I'll just take the hard work out of this and just do something that's a novelty for most Christians. Just believe. Don't pray a big prayer. I said, this hand, the driving this. In Jesus' name. You know how those things usually, even if you take an Advil, it takes a while for it to, in just a moment or so, just a little ways down the road, it felt like there was a plug that just was unplugged. And I'd say if you were scaling it from 1 to 10, it was like a 10, and it went down just like that to probably a 2, a 1.5. And to start with, I was like, did that really happen? You know how when your head's hurting or something and the neurons, it takes, if they're firing, they're firing, and then they skip one and you think, oh, I'm healed. And then about 2 seconds later, you're like, oh, I'm not healed. I actually guessed. I said, did my prayer do? And I was like, well, if I think that, I'm doubting. But you know what? He already knew I was thinking it. But I'm in a process of learning that even my prayers work on myself. And did you know it was like that thing just vanished like that. And the rest of it, I was just able to just begin to worship. And then I felt another adjustment. I'm thinking, he's really real. It really does work. This is really amazing. It really works. It works on preachers. If it'll work on preachers, it'll work on anybody. We celebrated this morning. What did you do for 2 hours at your church this Sunday? We studied eschatology. We broke down all the symbols. We are fat with knowledge. What did you do? We just sat there and go, oh. You did that? You did what? We went, oh. You did. Remind me not ever go there. Because you people need help. Now, don't fix us. Please don't fix me. I'm real happy like I am. If I'm off, I'm glad to be there. Hallelujah. I'm having my own little party. Hallelujah. This is a part of celebration. Our giving, you see, there's something inside of you. I've been on the receiving end a bunch. But you know, it's just like mamas and daddies when they watch their babies around the Christmas tree. There's a joy in giving. That joy is so much that some of you've hurt. I've felt your pain. I've come to a place the Holy Spirit showed me some of your pain, like some of you are not in a position that you really like to be. Hey, we do everything we can around here to make this family. We even have fellowship during our giving so nobody feels conspicuous. Isn't that sweet of the Holy Spirit? But listen, when those guys, one of my favorite guys, did it in college, but when you have those PHIL 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's right for everything. But you know, the real root of that came at the backside. The next verse, the one before that said, Paul said, I know how to abound. I've had plenty and I know how to be abased. I know how to suffer and I know how to come out of that suffering. Because he's the same guy, hallelujah, that wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he were rich, yet he became poor, that I through his poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can do all things. I can come through this thing. I can get on the other side of it. And then later in the chapter, 13 and 6 verses later in 19, he wrote, 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need. How can I say this? Because I've found him on the path. When I was down my lowest, he brought me out of it. And he calls me to stand. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9, he said, and God is able. You know, the same grace that causes you to live righteous every day and gets you through your toughest difficulties. It's the same grace that causes you to have the capacity to give. He said, for I know, he said, the grace of God. He said, for God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And I love this word, always, always, always having all. And then he says, all sufficiency, that you may have the capacity to give unto every good work. Hallelujah. Celebrate these times with us. Even if you don't have something, celebrate these times with us, because I can tell you this, he's able to make all grace abound towards you. He hears the cry of your heart. And you know what? If you'll ask him, God, would you put something in my pocket so I can start? The only thing is, when that does come in, when they say, well, you overpaid your taxes last year, or you gave too much to the co-op or something, and it comes in $500 and you're, wow, I know we're going to get new carpet. No, wait a minute. You just asked him last week. Now, he may want you to take part of that and put in new carpet or a dress. But when you ask him, don't forget that he comes with all grace. Hallelujah. He'll do it. He knows how to cause you to abound so that you can give to every good work. I just happen to believe and have it from a good source. This is a good work around here. Hallelujah. We get to celebrate. Hey, listen. He's able to do it again and again. And in just case you might have been thinking that we're out here in no man's land trying to, nobody hears our voice and God doesn't, and we've been pushing little pennies this way. In 15 years, I can tell you this, he's all his glory. I've seen not one, not two, not three. I'm not sure how many I could really count. Those five-digit checks come through. They didn't stop with me, I can promise you that. Now, I'm not talking about the two digits that make up cents either. I've seen several of those come through. By several different sources. Listen, that'll get your budget straightened out real quick. Hallelujah. You can straighten out things for several months in front of you. If he was able to do it once, he's able to do it again. If it wasn't among us, you're just rejoicing that he's able to get it from somebody someplace else and get it over to us. Hallelujah. 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 So you get a double blessing this morning. You get to stand and worship God again. And during this worship, we will fellowship again. And if you have something, you can mosey up here. And if you don't have anything, just worship God like all get out, like crazy, for the day that you get to write one of those five-digit checks. Hallelujah. Or anything else. It's all appreciated. Hallelujah. So, Father, we bless this in Jesus' name, and we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanksgiving. Why don't you turn with me to Mark, the 16th chapter, just for a little bit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'll find it. Would you stretch your faith this way and pray for me? Father, I love you and worship you. Thank you for this day. We're having a good time, Father. I'm having a good time. And it's all in you. I realize, Lord, what a good time that I'm having. And I realize, Lord, that it's all in you and through you. And I thank you for these, how that they love you, because they've brought this atmosphere in here today, as well as us all. Teach us your word. It is truth, and we love you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. This is Jesus' last words. You know, the wonderful thing about what he said here, what we're about to read, is if it was just Jesus doing it, we'd all have a room to bark out loud and say, oh, it was Jesus, the Son of God. Now, what happened after he left, it started happening in his disciples. They started doing, they were already doing similar works, but he was with them. Now he leaves, and he's no longer here. And Peter starts casting out devils, and all these disciples, and the shadow of Peter starts healing people. And Peter and John, they go up to the temple at a certain hour of the day, and there's this lame man, lame from his mother's womb, birth, get up. He gets up. Jesus is not on the planet, but it works after Jesus leaves. How many of you believe it'll work in 2012? Where we're headed. Glory. See, here's the problem. We are, and this is no indictment against the Word, because the Word's pure. And I say we, I mean the church. The church is fat. Fat on the Word. But lean on the power. Millions of Americans wobble in to church every Sunday. Well, they might look good on the outside, they wobble in. I just came from a seminar. I've been being preached to for years. I can tell you mystery after mystery after mystery. Well, how many devils have you been casting out? How many hospital visits do you have as a testimony, not to you, but to Him, where after you prayed, within just a couple days, they left? How many insane people did you lay your hands on? But here's the dichotomy. Here's the amazing dichotomy. This is amazing. The span of this, I can't hardly grasp this, but I understand it. It's because we're not actually doing it. We're hearing it, but we're not doing it. And I'm saying the church, and I'm seated here with you. They didn't see. I understand because I am a word man. Please. I know y'all understand this, and I'm not talking down to you. They didn't have this. The Mark and Luke, they couldn't go to Scripture and get fat on it. They didn't have it. It was being written. It took sometimes these men's whole life. They had the 39 of the old. But what we teach from most of the time, that was still Mark. Mark wasn't even one of the 12. He wasn't one of the 12. This is John Mark. This is the guy that Paul had a problem with. Him and Barnabas had a knockdown drag out. Talk about mortification. Hey, I think there's hope for us. They got so mad, they got spitting mad. They left each other. They were partners in Christ. And it said the dissension between Paul and Barnabas got so hot. Now, I believe it was probably in the earlier part of his ministry. Because they was fighting about this. Mark went with them on a trip. And Mark panty wasted out and left and went home to mama when it got tough. And then when they thought to go again, Barnabas, which was John Mark's uncle, he said, "Let's take John again." Paul said, "We ain't taking him again. We had to send him home to mama. And we ain't got no baby criers in our bunch when we leave, because you know we get beat up every place we go." You know, Paul must have had. I'll tell you. The guys that had to follow Paul had to be tough. My God. And everywhere he went, they not only was Paul under an assignment, they were too, because they followed him. That's why you read several different places, you find out Paul said, "No longer with me. No longer with me." One place he talks about, "Y'all greet Demas when he comes." And another, then another place, he's the same Demas. "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." In other words, "Pastor Bronk, I'm with you. Bring in some of the pom-poms from Friday night. We'll all, 2, 4, 6, 8 revivals, what we appreciate. Hallelujah, hallelujah." And then when the persecution starts, "Do you know that guy, that preacher over there? Well, I used to go there, but..." And a lot of people left him. A lot of people did. Mark, later Paul said, he said in one of his epistles, he said, "Send Mark." Paul must have got to the place he's tender-hearted. And Mark must have grew up too. Barnabas wasn't even in between them. He wasn't even negotiating. He said, "Mark, he's profitable." Luke, he wasn't one of the 12. He wasn't an apostle. He became an apostle. He wasn't one of the 12. He's a Gentile doctor. Mark, he got the words, and he probably, you know that guy they say, well, you know, it's in Scripture. It said that young man that fled naked at Christ's betrayal, that's understood as Mark. He wasn't one of the 12, but he was listening a lot and getting, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't just give him word for word on this. They actually had to talk to each other and say, they filled in the missing pieces. Okay, what happened then? Okay, it's just like you report to me. But Mark got this. He may have heard Christ say it directly. If he didn't, then he went to Peter, or he went to one of the 12. And they said, this is what he said. This is what he said. And here's where the church is at large. We're kind of part of it. Fat. You know, you feed an athlete. You feed an athlete that they got all the genetics to be just an absolute something. You feed them a lot of protein and vitamins and all kinds of stuff. And don't let them get out there and work it off and work it out. They'll get fat. Underneath, they'll have all the knowledge to do anything. But if they don't work it off, get lean. So here's a church. Here's a church. I know a lot. I'm fat and full of the Word. They didn't have no Word, but they were doing the Word. They were casting out devils and raising the dead and healing the sick. And the Word was still, listen, King James. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If King James was good enough for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. Hey, by the way, King James celebrates 400 years right now. That's great. I like King James. John wrote his last epistle right around 100 and something. So what I'm saying is the first church didn't even have this. So if you're barking about, you better show it to me. No, they took the passed down verbal record and said, you mean Jesus said that we could do what? He said that if once you got born again, you could cast out devils. They didn't say, give me a scripture on it. They just said, Jesus said. And they said, okay, if he said it, I'll go do it. And when they did it, you know, surprisingly, when they did it, when you lay your hand on the back of your head and say, headache, stop, surprise, it about shocked me worse than it did. I mean, there wasn't nobody else in there, but I was like, wow, it works. Watch this. In verse 14, he said, afterward, he appeared, that's Jesus, unto the 11, as they sat at meat and upbraided them. What does upbraid them mean? That sounds sweet. He wasn't braiding their hair. He was rebuking them. He upbraided them because of what? Their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen. And he said unto them, listen what he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. You remember what Dave said? He said the epitome of religion is those people that hold up in monasteries. I mean, I don't like to say this for the little one's sake, because some of your mommies tell them don't say this, but hold up and shut up. And Jesus said, go out and speak. Go out and speak. Tell everybody. Tell everybody. The reason why, one of the reasons why we don't see more manifestation is we're not doing it. We're just not doing it. Oh, I don't think you heard me. This is not, the church is not where most, I'm not upset and I'm not crazy. This is where the miracles take place, out here. This is where the miracles are supposed to be taking place, out here. Jesus did most of his miracles not in the synagogue. He did it out here. See, they're out here saying, y'all come get me. I'm depressed. I'm sick. I'm going to go heal somebody. I had that plan, that little kid. High fives, Jesus. His mama was zipping his pants right soon. About this high. Go preach the gospel. That's good news. You know what the good news is? You don't have to be the way you are. You got a choice. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I think I ought to just say that, something about that, just real quick. We're going to have some baptismal services. But don't none of y'all ever think that baptism, you have to be baptized to be saved. Now, Jesus said, now, he said to that man on the cross, today. We ain't going to crawl down from here and you get baptized, but today you're going to be with me in paradise. It's a beautiful thing. And it's a beautiful, but Paul himself said, God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And it's beautiful, and there can be a lot taught on it, and we're going to teach on it about 2 or 3 weeks before we baptize. But don't you ever let the devil or any religion tell you, well, you ain't been baptized, you ain't saved. As the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow every pastor. Wait a minute, I said it. That's got to be true. Is that right? No. See, it's my job to equip you. Ephesians says I'm supposed to equip you to go out and do work. He says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out what? Devils. Now, you got, and I've got the idea that that's a foaming mouth, fall down, throw a fit, everybody get hair on the back of their head kind of experience. And that has happened. And I've had the privilege to cast out several devils. And I learned later on from Pastor Dave that if you walk in the authority, you really don't have to mess with them because they love attention. You can spend all night messing with them, but if you'll just say, go. And then act like they don't exist because you believe that what you said is going to take place, it will take place. That's one kind. But casting out devils is the besiegement over people's lives also. And you stepping in, that's why, listen, we said Wednesday night, we were talking about this. You know why it's hard to get those people that have gone out to come back and stick? You go out and get them, call them, I love you. You know what government is? Government is love with skin on it. Hello, I love you, we miss you, we haven't seen you. But the only problem about love with skin on it, if it doesn't have an operation with power with it, you're only going to get them to come back here, and what they're doing is you're propping them up to the table and saying, eat your greens. I don't want to. See, you're asking them to make the same decision that they walked away from 6 months or 2 years ago. Because at some point, they got to get past themselves. And whatever they left saying, it's never right. They believe it, but it's never really the pastor. It's never really you. It's never really, it's just your neighbor making soup. What's that? It's one excuse as good as another. As a guy comes over to the guy's house and says, can I borrow your, the guy had a new lawnmower. Can I borrow your lawnmower? Said, well, I'd like to let you borrow it, but my neighbor's making soup. Your neighbor's making soup. He said, what in the world? Y'all thought I was going to say something bad. He said, what in the world does your neighbor making soup have to do with me borrowing your lawnmower? He said, well, if I didn't want you to borrow my lawnmower, one excuse is as good as another. It really don't matter what I tell you. But all you're doing is when you get somebody to come back, you're propping them up and saying, can you make this decision now? And if they can't get past themselves, then you'll just have to go get them again in 6 months or whatever. But what took them out is an operation. And what was the operation? Well, Jesus said this. When a devil's cast out, let's put it in the terms of, let's get past falling down. Let's get past that. That does happen. But the operation of them being cast out is when they get free enough that they see Jesus and they get born again. Okay? Now, he said, when that devil is cast out of their life, that devil couldn't hold him anymore. When he's cast out, he has to go and get 7 other devils more wicked than himself. And he said, when they enter back into that doesn't mean necessarily demon-possessed. And he wasn't saying that that's going to happen to everybody because it didn't happen to you. You're sitting here this morning and you're born again and you can live in Christ. He's saying when it happens, if it does happen. What had to happen was that one had to go and say, look, you know what? I've been cast out and for the last 6 months I've been trying to get them offended or go back into the flesh or the bars or whatever. I got to have help. Now, this is amazing what this man did, Jesus, how he looked in the spirit. He said,
that spirit had to get help, and he had to get seven other spirits meaner or wickeder than himself. And those seven plus him, eight, had to go and start an operation in that person's life that would consistently work on them until eventually it will wear them down. And that's why, now listen, that's why even when you see people come back in and they sit for a while and then they leave and they sit and there's an operation against them. That's why it's important. Don't backslide. You can always get your position back overnight. You can get it back. But the problem is that when that happens, it's hard for those people to realize, I got to get past this again. And if I get past it, you're free and clear. But there's devils out there working on them. So what we do is we pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll not only work on them through us, but we come against it. It's just like this. Just the phone call or just a hug's not going to get them back in here. There's an operation of devils working, and we got to break that for them to finally concede and say, okay, I'm going to make the decision that I wasn't ready to make 6 months ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. That's casting out devils right there. That's casting out devils. And it's also casting out devils when you get an assignment to say, look, how about go cast that devil out? Now, he said this, the signs will follow them, you and me, you in particular, the church. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. If I said this morning, how many tongue talkers we have in here? Most of you, if not all of you, would raise your hands. But do you know that what he's saying here, this is the gospel that has been given to you. And you're not only supposed to speak in tongues, you're supposed to be training them to speak in tongues. If you come here a year and you don't know how to do that, I haven't done my job. Or you're not listening or something. But as a coach, I'll say, okay, it's on me. I like coaches that say it's on me. See, here is something, too. The Holy Spirit said, grab some of these. If you don't know how, first of all, you should know how to win somebody to Christ. You don't have to you don't even have to learn the Roman road. Do you know that? Yes, sir. I understand that. But if you just know how to say, do you know Jesus loves you? God gave his son. He died for your sins and for my sins. And if you pray and believe that the sacrifice he made for your sins was for you, and if you'll pray with me, a simple prayer, and believe it in your heart, you will be saved. Do you know you're supposed to be getting people filled with the Holy Ghost too? Some time ago, because of some college students, these one in particular, asked me, how do you get people filled with the Holy Ghost? I wrote down and did a paper on it, and I believe it's really good, but it's not a form that you have to follow, but suggested form. And I gave these away to some people who went to Ocala with me, and it's on the website. You can get it. I'll put them back in the back table. If we run out and you need some more made, see Miss Candy. It's a step-by-step of assisting someone in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's practical, over 15 years of understanding of how to just practically get somebody. See, listen, if you teach somebody about 5 minutes, you'll increase the odds of your getting them filled about 80 or 90%. If unless you have a blatant power on you. Now, a lot of times and Homer's told me before, they've had services where he couldn't even start. There was such a power in here, he just started praying for them, and they all got filled. And I prayed for people, there was such a power, you just said, look, we're going to pray. But I have found that the Holy Spirit takes that, you know how they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound, is that right? Pound of cure, just 5 minutes of teaching somebody, and this is real simple stuff, it's got an intermittent scripture in here, so it's all, I believe, all based on scripture, but it's got the practicalities of how to get somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. And I bet all of you want one of them. You need one of them. You need to know how to do that. This is why are we fat on word and lean on power? We're lean on power. We ought to come back every week and give a testimony of what's going on out there, because that's where the miracles are at. We heard the little voice cry out. I need to be healed. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. Now listen, if you start taking up serpents and you go to that church, I'm not going with you. I do have a couple of pistols, and you don't know which one I got at the time, but either one of them will kill a snake. So don't throw your pet snake on me, because I'm not happy with snakes. I don't like them. But he wasn't talking. Do you think that Jesus, now listen, do you think that Jesus was talking about those improbable? I have never run into a situation. I mean, it happens. I mean, a few times maybe in my life, I thought, well, God protected me from a snake bite. But I sure didn't try to pick the thing up. And you're not going to get me to pick it up. And you're not going to get me to go to a church that picks them up. But that's not what he's talking about. That is so isolated. So not just one percenter, 1% of a million, that would, you'd run into that situation. He's obviously got to be talking about something that everybody in Christendom works on a practical level on a daily basis. What he's talking about is, he said, you'll tread on scorpions and serpents. You will, in this life, and I love this, have the opportunity as an ambassador of Christ to go into horrible situations and work in the character that you're picking up serpents. You're working with people that have the capacity to destroy you and other people. You have the capacity, these people are just going crazy, and you have the capacity to step in and pick up and handle serpents, handle those things that could destroy, and yet you have the capacity as an ambassador of Christ to speak and listen. When he says this, the next part of it, this about going into and drinking deadly things, you're not going to get me to drink something deadly if I know it. To prove that give me that strychnine, I'm going to... No way. And then how often does anybody ever do that? Well, there's times in the jungle. I know, but of the 7 billion people that this should apply to, 7 billion people on planet Earth, how many of them's ever going to drink? Now, it does practically. If you're rushing your child to the hospital because they've drank something under the sink, you can claim this because it's the fruit of it. But the fact of the matter is, when he says you'll drink, what he's saying is you're coming in contact with the world and all the deadly things that's out there in the world. The fruit of this is the understanding of the joy that we don't die under the same diseases or abnormalities or sicknesses. Now listen, if you're going through something in your body, don't let the devil miscue this and take it off in some other area. But listen, the reality of it is this. The reality of it is this. You don't have to be sick. And deadly things, you ought to, if God gets his way in your life, there ought to be a sign and a wonder between the church and the world. And they're looking at you and saying, you live a healthy life, don't you? Yeah, I do. Well, I'm on 19 medications. Well, listen, there comes a point in your walk, like I said this morning, I wasn't trying to be mean, but I was trying to be mean in a nice way. You're either going to have to get the pity and call everybody and have them pat you and stroke you, or you're going to grow up and say, I am healed. Now, if you're getting the check, don't stop the check until you... But listen, if that thing is in your windshield and you're driving around with it and you're driving up and you like it there because it gives you a parking spot, if you're not doing something about it in your prayer closet, like I'm calling myself healed, then you're accountable with God. But you're not accountable as long as you need to keep that dangly thing there, as long as you're praying and seeking God. But the day will come where you'll say, I think I feel better. Now, like, I got a choice here. Either I can beat her, Miss Goody Two Shoes. I can beat her to the sale that's inside by parking this much closer. God, can I be sick just one more day? you ought to die at an old age with your grandkids coming around you and saying, Papa's not sick. Nana's not sick. We got our mind. And they're watching you and saying, they're just going home. They're not loaded up on a bunch of medicine. They're just going home. He's talking about the world's deadly poisons and all of everything around you is not supposed to affect you like it does the world. Oh man, can I get an amen?
Amen.
They shall take up serpents. He said, not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Everybody say they shall recover. Mike, pull this out of the way, would you? Just slide it over there. We're going to have the apostle and prophet come for just a minute. Okay. One of you stand over here with me and then one of you get there. What if next week you come in here and I say, okay, man, we had a bunch of calls. I got 10 homes here that need people to, they need Christ. They said they'd accept Christ. Who can I give this to? I know how to get them saved. And I say, okay, we got a bunch of them over here. We got 25 homes here that called in. And these people need hands laid on them because they need to be healed. How many of you know how to do that? Oh, yeah, I can go do that. Okay, there's some hungry people over here that said, oh, they've been reading about the website. They're talking about, oh, they read part of Dave's book on, but they don't understand. But they want to be filled with the Spirit. How many can go fill them with the Spirit? Everybody ought to say, I know how to do that. Let me go do that. If you don't, there's no condemnation in it. But learn. This isn't a church. This is a training facility. Learn. How do I do that? And it tickles me. I'm telling you, it tickles me how it doesn't. It tickles me a little bit how people pray. Let's see. Which one of you is going to be sick and which one of you is going to lay hands on the... No. Okay. Well, you cast him out. Okay. He's a devil. He said. He's going. Alex. I got a guy over there in the projects, in the PJ. Okay. Go over there. And why don't you cast that thing out? Because he's done. He's done tried to kill himself a couple times, unsuccessful. But. But I want you to go over. His name is Renee, and I know he's got a call, but you need to go over there. So I'm not going with you. Me and Candy's going to the beach today. Okay, so you go over there and you cast that thing out, and don't call me while I'm down the beach because I don't like to be interrupted. Okay, you go cast him out, and I'm gonna grade you and see what you do. Go ahead, son. Whoa, time out. He done start wrong right there. If it's your will. Son, you need to back that car up, okay? Okay, just do it again.
In Jesus' name, I rebuke you.
That's it?
Amen.
And just tell it to come out.
Amen.
Come out.
The first one, and he said, come out. So, man, come out of this devil. No. No. You did good. Now, he knew to start out the wrong way, you know, if it be thy will. Okay. Now, which one of you who's going to be sick? Oh, you're going to switch. Okay. So you're going to go pray for him? This man's, okay, come over here. Let's see, you know, I had this call. This man's sick. He's in the hospital. And me and Miss Candy and Miss Barbara, we're going to go have dinner tonight. And I can't go because I got something to do. And sometimes people just lie. Some preachers will lie, you know. They'll say. They'll name their boats and stuff like visitation and stuff. So they can say, I'm on visitation or I'm on do this or, you know, just no, I don't want to go because I want to go get something to eat.
That's what I want. Now you go lay hands on him because he's had an infirmity in his body. And you go do what the Lord said, because you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And don't call me during the meal, because I'm enjoying. Okay, we'll grade him.
You know, I got you sick for a reason.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. He said God had him sick for a reason. Son, you done messed up right to start. Well, you do need to call me, don't you? Now, he knew to do that too. Well, just pray for him. I want to see what you like when you pray. Just pray. No, you're not devil possessed. You just need to. Yeah. Just pray. Yes, healed by his blood and his stripes. Sickness to come out. In the name of Jesus, call him whole. Call him sanctified in the name of Jesus. Yes. He's healed. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Hallelujah. Now just sit right there. Do you know, have you ever heard somebody? And now sometimes you'll hear me do this. And of course, listen, if you're grading me, don't grade me, because I'm going to make a big one. You know, my score won't be that great. Sometimes I'll be praying and you'll hear me say something like, I'll come off course with him to say something to you, to teach you. And that's okay. But a lot of times, somebody will lay hands. I've seen Christians, they'll start out, now, Lord, and they'll go on and on. Lord, you know, I know he knows, but don't do that. Lord, you know, the doctors have said, and Father, this disease is a killing disease, and Lord, it's in his liver, and it's in. Stop that! Just stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop telling God all that stuff he already knows. You never saw Jesus go and start praying over an infirmity, like praying, making a petition. When you say God, when you say, now I'll tell you this, if you even say this, listen, I'm asking you right now to come and heal him. He healed him 2,000 years ago. You're asking the man to come. In your mind, you're thinking, will you make a decision on this? I'm asking you to make a decision on this. Whether you realize it or not, you're basically saying, will you make a decision on this and come and heal? One of them big circles with a line crossed out. No. Jesus always went in with the rhema and said, I rebuke you, fever. We've got the same authority. Jesus said, arise, get up and walk. Don't start talking to him about what he knows. Just go in there. You've got a baton. The baton is the power. You go in there and wield that power like you are somebody. Don't ask him to come, Lord. Now, it's one thing to say, God, if it's your will. Now, we all know. I mean, but I've found myself many times saying, God, I'm asking you right now to heal this man. No, 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 no. That man got healed 2,000 years ago. You're the one that is the connection between his healing. Go in there and pronounce him healed. Sir, I say to you in Jesus' name, arise and walk. It's done, been done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is why we, present party included, are fat. And we're not doing. Because you got to work off some of that word that's in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. You said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We don't have to wait to the other end of a fast or another end of another seminar. Well, if I could study this a little bit more and understand more about it, then I might be ready to do it. No, God, right now, we're ready. The moment we got born again, filled with your Holy Ghost, we were ready to do the works that you called us to do. So would you just stand with me this morning and just lift up holy hands? I'm asking you to receive this with me. Let's just know that we go out of here today, this week, we're equipped. He's called us to do a work. How about let's just worship and give Him all the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. I bless You and praise and glorify You. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Lord, You're the one who called me to do Your work and to do Your will. And I bless You and praise You. I exalt Your name. I exalt Your name. I exalt Your name. I exalt Your name. Hallelujah. We're going to worship through this. If anybody had a particular need in your body, we'll pray for you. You just come and stand. But then if we get through this thing and there's nobody, we'll just count that. So just come and stand. But the rest of you, just worship God. Let's just worship God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. I bless the name of the Lord. I glorify You. I glorify You.